word, for its truth, asking you to help us today as we look into it, that you would give us wisdom, insight, discernment to apply these things to our lives, and we'll give you thanks in your name. Amen. This morning we come back to our series, the Sermon on the Mount. We find ourselves progressing along with what Jesus has taught us, the many things that we find ourselves in, and we're in the section, the model for prayer. And we're learning from this model that Jesus gave to us on how to include proper elements for successful praying. Helps keep us on track, helps keep us from drifting, helps keep us from our thoughts straying. And so often we find ourselves in a place where it's like, okay, I got to get back on target here. I've kind of rambling, or my mind wanders, kind of a thing. But the things that we're learning, we have linked to jogging on a track. Only this is a prayer track, not a physical track. We are on lap number 5 this morning, where we're asking about this area of temptation and being victorious in our lives over it. So we get on this 5th lap, we're going to learn how we need to enter into and stand in the victory that we have. Because of Christ, He's won these things for us, and He's given them to us to use in our daily lives. So we'll see how we need to be wearing this armor of light that He's given to us so that we can defeat daily the enemy in every aspect of our lives, because He's filled with the deceit. He gives us the tricks that He's trying to trip us up, the traps that He sets for us along the way, the efforts to seek to bring us down as Christians. So as we take this lap, we prepare ourselves to stand firm in the victory that's been won for us by Christ. And that's the important thing for us to always remember. The victory has already been won. We need to enter into it. We need to make it a part of our lives. We didn't win the victory. We weren't able to do that, but only He could. So we find ourselves in a war. We find ourselves in this conflict, the spiritual conflict that is there. Paul talks about it in many places. And he tells us that we need to fight the good fight of faith. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 12, he makes mention of that. He says, fight the good fight for the faith. Take hold of eternal life that you were called to and have made a good confession about it in the presence of many witnesses. We're in a battle. We're in a war. We're not just to idly sit by and let things happen. But we are to go to battle. We're to stand firm. We're to have the equipment that God has given to us. You and I can win this fight by praying what Jesus taught us here in Matthew chapter 6 in the first part of verse 13. He says, and do not bring us into temptation. Do not bring us into temptation. When you stop and you think about this, it may raise a question in your mind. Because doesn't James in James chapter 1 and verse 13 say that God tempts no one? So how does this relate? What is he talking about here? Where he says to bring us not, pray that we don't be brought into temptation and not bring us there. Well, God tempts no one. So why would we pray to not be brought into temptation? You see, God will allow testing in our lives. He allows trials into our lives to cause us to grow. The tempter, of course, is our enemy, the devil. He's the one who seeks to destroy us. He's the source of temptation, along with our lack of surrender every area of our lives. So he works hand in hand with our human nature, our old nature, as well as being the author of temptation. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, Matthew writes, then the tempter approached him and said, if. And how many times does he use that if in your life? If you do this, it's not going to be like you think. Didn't he do that with Eve? Did God really say that? If that was the case, kind of a thing. And so we need to be on our guard against that, because we realize he's the one that seeks to bring us down. He's the one that seeks to destroy us. So Jesus makes mention here, says, and when we pray, do not bring us into temptation. And so the old self, the old nature, once you become a Christian, the old nature always trying to get back on the throne, wants to be in charge, wants to be in control. And if we don't surrender our will, we will also contribute to our own temptation. That's why we need to die to ourselves daily. That's why earlier in this text, Jesus tells us that we are to ask him that his will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want our will to match your will. But when we don't, we see that we're going to have problems. So we need to understand this word temptation and what it means here in verse 13. The word used is interesting. It's been translated temptation. And when we hear the word temptation, we always associate certain things with it, don't we? Certain things come to mind. Word pictures come to mind. The word used in the original is peiramos. And the prayer here isn't that God will lead us into temptation. So we're not praying that he won't. It's a prayer for help so that we are not led into temptation by forces that are beyond our control. Forces that are outside of us. Forces that are out there seeking to destroy your Christian faith, to destroy your trust in God, to destroy your testimony, to destroy your witness. And so in other places, Jesus continues to tell his disciples to pray that they will not be led into temptation. You see, the issue here is not necessarily testing per se, but temptation by ungodly powers in our lives and in all of our affections and afflictions, wanting to draw us away from him or to ask him to deliver us from those things, deliver us from that power that's out there, deliver me from some of the things that are existing in my life that you're pointing out that I need to conquer because they've already been conquered in you. I need to enter into your victory in these areas. Those who have no deep roots in Christ are going to be ruined. Think about the parable of the soils, how some of them fell in the rocky ground. There was no root. There was nothing to keep them. See, Jesus knows the weaknesses of our human flesh. He knows the weaknesses that we have. And isn't it amazing that he still puts up with us? I mean, I always go back to the Israelites and all the nonsense that went on. Yet God continued to help them when they would cry out. He knows our flesh. We have good intentions, but sometimes we don't follow through with those good intentions. We want to do these things, but sometimes we find ourselves at the end of the day, what happened? How did I get derailed? How did I miss the mark of what I thought? And so he knows our weaknesses, and so he makes this prayer request, and he tells us to pray that to keep us from the dangers that are out there. You see, the idea here is to pray that we don't fall victim into surrendering to the temptations around us. And they're all around us, all the time. Because of the purpose of temptation is what? To defeat us, we need to always be on our guard. We have to always be on our alert. We cannot let down. The minute you let down, the minute you're going to find yourself being attacked. We need to always be on our guard, never let down, always be aware of what's going on in your life. Always be engaged. That's why we need to refrain from some of the things that are out there that tell you, well, just disengage, let your mind go. No, never let your mind go. Never allow those kinds of things in your mind as those that say, well, just meditate. And it's not talking about the meditation that we have in Christ, but just let your mind relax. Never let your mind relax in that sense. Always be on guard, because the minute we let down, the minute we're going to have problems. You also know your weaknesses. You know where you are strongest. You know where you have weaknesses. And so you know where you're vulnerable. Stay away from those things. Put those things behind you. Pray, God, this is a weakness in my area. Help me to overcome it. Help me not to be led into temptation in that area, because I want my will to be your will. I want my will to be as it's done in heaven. You see, the enemy will tempt you in these areas where you're weak Not because he reads your mind, he can't do that. He's not omniscient, but he sees what you do. He sees where you're at. His workers are all around, and they watch. They're students of Christians. And so they say, oh, they're weak in this area. Okay, so we'll watch. And when they do, and when you go there, then they're ready to pounce. So Paul warns us to be cautious. He warns even strong Christians about this. In Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 1, where he's talking about helping others, he makes this mention, brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. So he says, you need to help, but be cautious when you do so that you don't fall victim to the temptation. See, the origins of temptations vary. Some of them, as we know, come from the enemy. He studies us. He's always laying those temptations. Some come from within, as we mentioned. Uncontrolled appetites, the trials that we're in, evil desires, evil passions that are part of our lives that need to go and be replaced with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. But sometimes we struggle with them. If you look over at Matthew chapter 17, part of the Sermon on the Mount we'll get to, but not today. In verse, starting in verse 20, we read these things. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. It's an interesting thing. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Talking about false teachers, talk about false ideas. Talk about those things in our lives that shouldn't be there. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I'll answer to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. So we need to be on our guard that those things in us are being sacrificed to him. Peter tells us that we should choose to follow Jesus and that we should do so totally, completely, and without reserve. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, he says, for you were called to this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. We need to be following in his steps, following who he is. And as children of God, we don't need to be afraid of where Jesus would lead us, because he's never going to lead us in a place to a place that's going to be detrimental to us or harmful to us. He's always going to lead us in the right way. He's always going to lead us in the right path. So even though temptations come to us and temptations are around us, God can use those things and he can help us to bring good into our lives. He can help us conquer those things. He can help us gain confidence as we conquer them. It builds our faith, and he can actually turn that which is bad around for our good. Isn't that what Romans 8:28 says? But we know that he's there to do that. You see, in life, some temptations and testings will also bring out our nature. They'll show us who we are. Sometimes we think that we, you know, we've gotten to a certain level, and God's saying, well, you know, there's a few things that you need to work on here. And so when we go through certain things, it begins to show us that need. It shows us that we need help from outside of ourselves because we're helpless in our own strength to do those things. We need to depend on God. When you're dealing with spiritual warfare, physical strength, physical ability, mental ability isn't enough. We need the spiritual armor. We need the spiritual warfare that goes on. And God has given that to us, and he helps us with that. We see examples of these things throughout the scriptures. In the Old Testament, there's an example of that need. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting at verse number 2, it says, remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness. They forgot that a lot of times, didn't they? And they blame Moses. They formed the BTE committee. You know, we want to go back to Egypt committee. You know, but he led you these 40 years so that he might humble you and test you to know what's in your heart. God knew what was in their heart, but he allowed them to do that so they would know what's in their heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you by letting you go hungry, Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your fathers had not known, so that you might learn that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And then he goes on to list other things. You saw this, God allowed this so that you could be this, and he helped you all along. There are other testings and trials that come our way. That's part of spiritual warfare on a daily basis. That's why we're given the spiritual armor. It's not just some little ditty that kids sing about the spiritual armor. God put it in his word. Paul was inspired to write it because it's essential for us daily to put on and equip ourselves with that armor so we stand firm. And there's times when we experience delays. Nobody likes delays, do they? Especially in this generation. We do not like delays. We want instant. When that computer starts to buffer, it's like, oh, no, we can't have that. We don't want the delays. We want instant. We experience delays. We experience trials. Why? In order to teach us what to develop in our lives and to prepare us for God's perfect will to be done. We need to realize that any time those things happen, God's still in control of those things, and we need to trust him through that. Just prior in this model of prayer, didn't Jesus tell us to pray, as I mentioned, that his will be done? Think about the examples of Joseph. The psalmist recounts that stuff that he went through in Psalm 105. If you have your Bibles, turn there to Psalm 105, starting at verse 16. He called down famine against the land and destroyed the entire food supply. He had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with shackles. His neck was put into iron collar. Until the time his prediction came true, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent for him and released him. The ruler of peoples set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all his possessions, binding his officials at will and instructing his elders. And then Israel went to Egypt. Jacob lived as a foreigner in the land of Ham. The Lord made his purpose very fruitful. He made them more numerous than their foes. You see, he's an example. Joseph had these dreams, you recall those, and yet they weren't just instantly fulfilled. He didn't just show up in Egypt and all of a sudden took on these roles, but he had to go through these things. And there are other trials that purify us, that help us to develop in our lives and in our faith. James writes about that in the first chapter of his book, James chapter 1, where he tells us the truths of the trials and the temptations that we experience and that we face. In verses 2 through 4, he says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." There's a reason and there's a purpose for those things. Peter, likewise, in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 6 and 7 of that chapter, he tells us, "You rejoice in this, though now for a short time you have had to struggle in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes, though refined by the fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." There's no gold that's going to be better than the revelation of Jesus Christ when he reveals himself and when he comes, and we know that we've stood firm and we've done what he's told us. So we need to keep in mind that not only those tests that will lead us to our growth are divinely permitted than when they come our way. God knows all about them. When trials come, we know that God is there controlling them. Question is, what trials are you going through right now in your life? Stop and think about those trials. Maybe even write them down and ask the Lord, "What am I going to learn from this? How can I learn from this? Are there examples in your word that'll help me with this and see that those trials that you're going through will bring you to that place of faith and maturity? Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't despair. Hang in there with God and see what he'll do in your life. Now, the enemy is there tempting you. Well, you see, God's left you hung out to dry here. Why has he done that? If God is a God of love, why are you struggling? Why are you suffering through this? Why are you going through these things? Why is this happening to you? And we go on and on with the questions, and we go on and on if we're not cautious, and we need to put an end to it. And we need to realize, no, God is in control. God is in charge of all these things that are happening in my life. Verse 12 of James chapter 1 says, a man who endures trials is blessed, because when he passes the test, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. It's one of those crowns we earn when we persevere, when we don't quit. It's when, not if, you're tried, because we all will face trials, so that we have learned from God's word we need to endure. But what does it mean to endure? Well, I was told, endure. Endure means to continue to believe, continue to trust, continue to act on the word of God in the middle of your conflict. Never give up. Never stop. Paul gives us that great encouragement that he wrote about in our scripture reading, the assurance of victory verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13, where he tells us very plainly that no temptation has seized you except what's common to man. In other words, the enemy likes to put in your mind, man, you're really, really bad. You're the only one that thinks that way. You're the only one that's ever thought that. You're the only one. Man, there's something really wrong with you. And we think about that and we think, wow, what is wrong with me? And we get off on a rabbit trail. No, we need to come back and say, no temptation has overtaken me except what's what? Common to man. It's everybody has it. Everybody goes through it. Maybe a little different slants. But God is what? Left you out to dry. No, God is faithful. And what does it say? He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. In other words, God will not allow those things into your life that will break you and destroy you. But with them, he will always provide a way of escape. There's always a way of escape. There's always a way to victory. So when you're down, when you're defeated, when you are listening to the wrong voice and you're not applying the scripture, realize, get back to it. And here's an important lesson that we need to learn if we want to be victorious. And this is something that we all will struggle with from time to time. We may not always hear God. We may not always feel him. We may not always have a sense of his presence. How many of you have ever done that? Man, it just feels like, man, where are you, God? You know, where are you? I don't sense anything. I don't feel anything. That's why we're not supposed to go by our feelings. That's why we're not supposed to go by our emotions, but what we know. The last part of the verse in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, in the Hebrew it says this, in his love, he will be silent. Sometimes God's silent. Sometimes he doesn't say anything. Sometimes there's just silence. Ever notice the quiet times when you don't sense his nearness? Sometimes you pick up your Bible and it's like eating dry cornflakes. So do you stop reading your Bible? No. Keep eating the dry cornflakes, because pretty soon the milk's going to come, and pretty soon the sweetener's going to come. It's in those quiet times. It seems like God is out there on the far side of his creation, busy doing something else. And he's too busy for me. And the enemy loves to jump on that. See, I thought this God of yours was such a God of love. There's times when God loves us in silence. Matthew gives us an example of that in an account, Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 23. It's talking about the faith of a Gentile mother. Yet he did not say a word to her. In other words, this woman is pleading with Jesus. He's pleading and pleading, help me, my daughter, demon possessed. She needs something. You got to help us. Silence. Silence. So his disciples approached him and urged him, send her away because she cries out after us. He replied, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. He answered, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that have fallen from their master's table. Then Jesus replied to her, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was cured. But Jesus was silent. There was silence. But she didn't quit. What if she would have said, okay, I'm done, went home? The daughter never would have been healed. The daughter never would have been delivered. But she kept on, and she was persistent. Don't miss this. It's vital to our understanding. We often get upset because we're not hearing nothing. We get antsy. We get worried. Learn this important lesson so that your faith is built up. Is it easy to do? No. Sometimes it's hard. But we just keep on doing what we know we're supposed to do. Don't listen to the devil, who in these silent times will tell you God has failed you. You're the only one he's ever failed, but you did it. He's failed you. Or you've done something and now he's really ticked off. And those thoughts come to our minds. They're no accident. They're there on purpose. But here it is. When God chooses to love you in silence, in order for our faith to be perfected so we learn tenacity, don't panic. Don't get upset. Be faithful. Keep moving forward. We're to continue in prayer. We're to continue in worship until he breaks that silence with words of commendation and blessing when our prayers are answered. Keep it up. Trust him, even in those times of testing, when he is quiet. Always remember that biblical faith is totally persistent. Totally persistent. Totally. We're going to keep on. And we'll get to that in the next chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't quit. And so we see an example of that, again, from Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 3, if you go there, Daniel chapter 3, starting at verse number 15. Daniel chapter 3, starting at verse 15. The scene, of course, is the gold statue that Nebuchadnezzar made. Wanted everybody to bow down, wanted everybody to worship it. And so he's got his spies out there. And they come back, you know, there's three dudes out there. They're ignoring you. They're not doing what you said. Every time the music plays, they stand there. They don't bow. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar at this point was very proud. He hadn't been humbled by God yet for 7 years, eating grass like the ox and doing those things. And so in verse 15, he says, now if you're ready, and so he's going to give these guys a chance, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the drum, every kind of instrument, fall down and worship the statue I made. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. That's pretty bold, pretty brazen, isn't it? You stop and you think about that. We read this and we get all excited about it and kids color pictures on it. But think about it. You're faced with certain death. Those days may be coming to American Christians. We always think it's going to happen somewhere else. But what if it happens here? What if it happens in our country? And they say, you deny or you do something of that kind of nature, or we're hauling you off to prison. You'll never see your family for the rest of your life, or we're going to execute you here on the spot, or whatever. They were faced literally with that choice. They were literally faced with that. But this is the bribe. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you to know, as king, to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Of course, that ticked. I mean, we know the rest of the story. Nebuchadnezzar went into an extensive rage. But notice that statement that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't said to give God an out just in case God didn't show up. No, that wasn't it at all. It was not a statement of lack of faith, but of total trust in God, that even if he doesn't choose to rescue us, we will entrust ourselves to him anyways and not bow to your statue. We need today a nation filled with even if he doesn't kinds of Christians. Even if he doesn't, I'm following him. Even if he doesn't, I'm making him my choice. Even if he doesn't, I'm obeying him. Even if it doesn't happen the way I think it should happen, I'm not backing down. I'm following him. This type of faith brings glory to God, and we need it. When we're walking through the fire, we need to remember that he walks with us. A little ways further down in that chapter, verse 25, the king exclaimed, "Look, I see four men not tied walking around in the fire, unharmed. And the fourth looks like the son of the gods." And then down in verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel and rescued his servants who trusted him. They violated the king's command, risked their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." They were the, even if he doesn't, Christians, followers of God. And so, when Jesus commands us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation," he's instructing us to pray that the forces beyond our control will not lead us into those areas that we shouldn't go. He also commands us to watch and pray against falling into temptation because of our own carelessness, our own disobedience. Remember in the Garden of Eden when he was there and he took the three closest to him and he was in distress and prayed? He says, "Watch and pray, watch and pray." Why? So that you don't fall into temptation. The night that he was betrayed, and that's what happened. The same thing can happen to us. We're often willing. Our spirit's weak. We need to daily watch and pray so that we're not led into temptation. And one thing we need to see as God's children, we don't need to learn everything the hard way. We don't need to learn everything the hard way. Remember as a kid how many times you had to learn the hard way because you didn't listen? Our parents would say, "If you just listen." But oh, we knew better. We learned the hard way. We got the discipline. We got the punishment. We got whatever. God would love it if we would learn our lessons from the Word of God through prayer, the instruction of the Holy Spirit, rather than having to discipline us. Everything we need to learn, we don't have to always do it the hard way. We do it the hard way because we are obstinate. So God says, okay, he loves us, so he will discipline us if and when we need it. Take some time. Read through Psalm 119. Notice how God works in our lives. Notice how his word works in conjunction with every aspect of our lives. And as we pray this in our lives today and every day, realize there's a second part of this prayer that we'll get to, Lord willing, next week. But in the meantime, think about these things. Practice these things daily in order to be what, who, and where God wants you to be. And follow him in every aspect, never backing down in your commitment. Let's stand together as we sing.